We're going to hear a reading from Scripture, and it's from the letter to the Philippians, and it's chapter 3. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the people of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some points you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. How many people stayed up to see the New Year in last night? Ooh, only a smattering. Must be getting old this lot, Adrian. Well, imagine that you did, or whenever you, maybe you got up and saw the fireworks this morning recorded on television, I don't know. But I just wonder what went through your head, or would have gone through your head if you'd been awake, as the clock turned midnight and we entered 2017. Perhaps memories of the past year, or maybe thoughts of the new year. One thing it made me think of was memory. Memory's a strange thing. Well, mine is anyway, it's about yours. We easily forget something. We easily remember some things, but we forget others. And there doesn't seem to be any straightforward criteria as to what we remember and what we forget. And it's not always the most important that we remember, is it? I remember all sorts of stupid little things that are totally unimportant. I have no interest to anybody else at all. And on the other hand, during my life, I have forgotten some really important things, and I've got into serious trouble, not to mention my wife's first birthday after we got married. Memory is unreliable, it would seem. Anyway, New Year's a time of remembering, isn't it? And I was going to run through all the things that have happened in the church here in 2016, but really there isn't time. What I want to say, though, is perhaps as you think about 2016, some, if not all, your memories are sad or painful. And I hope there have been good memories as well. But that's the way it is, isn't it? As Terry said earlier in his word, every year is a bit of a mixture. Now, in the church here, we've had some great things happen. Just to remind you, we're now in the 10th year of ministry. Originally as West Auckland Community Church, and then since 2013 as West Auckland Vineyard Church. The well's been open now for 5 years. And lots of things have happened this year that have been great. We've had people come to events that don't come to anything else. But they've come here because we've had a comedy night or a Tear Fund concert or something like that. And people from the village have got involved in the shoebox collection. We are making connections, or God is building links between us and the people of our community. And I think that's exciting. And as somebody else said, 6 people were baptized this year, and there are still more people coming into the church. God is at work. And that's the first thing I think we want to remember in this remembrance. God is at work. But before I talk about remembering, I also want to talk a bit more about that business of forgetting, because I sincerely believe that there are some things God wants us to forget. It's quite interesting. If you go into your Bible concordance and put in the word forget, what comes up? In Isaiah 43:18, God says to Israel, the people of Israel, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Now, you can make what you like of that, but the context of it was that they were looking back to the old days. You know how people say, oh, the good old days, you know, that's when things were great and this, that, thing. It's a load of twaddle. But we often do it. It was better then. What God was saying when he said, forget the former things, was, even though you've seen me do some amazing things, there's better to come. So forget about that. Look at what I'm going to do next. This is going to blow your mind. So never mind what's happened in the last 9 or so years of West Dorking Community Church or Vineyard Church. Guess what God's doing next year? It's going to blow your mind. So that's a good thing. It made me think of the Israelites. Do you remember how the Israelites were led out of Egypt by Moses? And they'd been in slavery, they'd been in misery, they'd been downtrodden, they'd been ill-treated and everything. And then Moses leads them out. It's fantastic. And then they get in the desert and they get a bit sort of, how far is this then? How far is it to this so-called promised land? How long are we going to be doing this? This has been going on forever. And this manna, it's all really well, but you get sick of it after a while. They started grumbling and complaining, and they actually said, we were better off in Egypt. What? And that's how they were, and that's what we're like. That's what people are like, isn't it? We hanker back to the past, and God says, forget the past. It was great. Not all of it. But I've got something new and better for you, and I'm going to do it. So just leave the past. Don't dwell on the past. And this is important. Living in the past is not good for us. I don't know whether you've come across this, but sometimes Christians and churches live on the glories of the past, when in fact God's plans to do more and greater things in our lives now. I've been in churches sometimes, and in the service they have a testimony time. That's great. But in some churches, all that happens is people get up on the platform and tell you how they became a Christian 45 years ago. Nothing seems to have happened since. You know, they don't see God at work in their lives, really. Just then, that was it. End of story. Well, I got bad news for you. That's not the end of the story. That's the beginning. Becoming a Christian is the first step in a process that God has planned for our entire lives. The danger is we're tempted to settle for what we have when God wants to give us so much more. And that's the message for 2017. So much more. Like a newborn baby, we must grow in our faith if we're going to fulfill the plans that God has for us. Not only that, but it occurred to me that when we think that God has no further plans for us, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. People wonder what that phrase means. I think that's one of the things it means. God has things for us to do, and he has changes that he wants to make in us. I want to read to you from Romans 8:29. It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's God's plan. To change us bit by bit, year by year, so that more and more our lives represent the life of Jesus to the people we meet. That's his plan. Is it finished yet? Well, forgive me if I say this, but looking around, I don't think it is. And certainly looking at me, I don't think he has. So come on. Okay, stop hankering after the past. Stop going on about how good it was then. Let's look forward. Let's thank God for the past because it was great. And actually, the other thing I've got to mention here is what Ephesians 2 says. Now, we're going to be looking at Ephesians in some detail, but in Ephesians 2, it says this, verse 10. We're God's handiwork. Wow. Some Christians think, oh, that's it then. I just let God do his stuff. No, that's not all there is to it. The fact is, every experience we have, he can use to produce in us what's sometimes called the fruit of the Spirit. Things like love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the image of Jesus that God wants to form in you and me, and that's why he lets us go through all sorts of experiences so that those things might grow and develop in us as we receive those experiences, positively and as a gift from him. God has things for us to do. It goes on. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's got things for you and me to do that he's prepared especially for us to do. Isn't that exciting? You know, there's things he said, right, I'm going to set all this up and I'm going to bring Richard in and he's going to do this. And it's going to be brilliant. And I don't even know what it is yet, but he's got it ready, and he's got it ready for every one of you. He's got things that he's prepared, and the way is laid. There's a pathway, and he's going to lead you into that situation. That's if you'll let him, of course. All I'm saying is the past is important, but it's not all there is. And actually, the past can really hold you back if you're not careful. Because when we remember the past, sometimes there are things that haunt us, aren't there? This is serious now. Are there things that haunt you from the past? Are there things you cannot forget? Things in your past that give you bad dreams? Things in your past that make you think you'll never progress as a Christian? Do you dwell on things from the past? Do you use things from the past as for excuses for the way you are now? It's so easy to do that. The devil's always wanted me to do that. He says, you've always been this, you've always been that, you'll never be any different. And I say to him, shut up. Jesus says differently. I know I'm like that, I hate it, but he's working on me. So I think one of the things we need to do in 2017 is to ask God to help us forget those things and not to keep going back to them in our minds, not listening to the words of Satan. Do you remember Lot's wife? God destroyed the city of Sodom, but he rescued Lot and his family because they were Abraham's relatives. And as they were leaving, they were told this. The words of the angel to them were, flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop. What did Lot's wife do? She stopped and looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Fixed, immovable, lifeless. Is that how you want to be? Don't look back. In Philippians 3, we read, Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what ahead, I press on, forgetting what's behind. The challenge to me is, what might that be for me? What is it that might get in the way? For Paul, it meant any of those things that he used to believe in and used to rely on in his life in order to please God, because he was a legalist. He thought if he could follow the law, that's all that God required. And it isn't true. And he had to forget that. He had to put that behind it. Listen on. This is what he said. I'm reading this in the contemporary English version. He says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm from the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a true Hebrew. As a Pharisee, I strictly obeyed the law. I was so eager, I even made trouble for the church. I did everything the law demands in order to please God. Paul's determined that nothing gets in the way of him growing as a Christian. He says, all that meant nothing. I'm leaving it behind. I'm forgetting it. And he uses the illustration of an athlete who's running and his focus is on winning the race so much so that his eyes are set that way. He looks at nothing else. He pays no attention to what's going on around him. He just focuses on where he's going and he gets on with it. And it reminded me of a situation in 1954 when I was six. So I don't really remember it, but I've read about it. There were two athletes who ran in the same race in America. One of them was called Roger Bannister. The other one was John Landy. They were the first two men to run together in a race of a mile in less than 4 minutes. And you know, John Landy led that race right from the beginning to the final turn. And at the final turn, he looked round to see where Bannister was. And Bannister came up the other side, passed him and won the race. Because he turned round to see what was going on behind him. That was a fatal mistake. Paul says, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what's ahead, I press on towards the goal. But to come back to what Paul says, all this stuff in his past, I know a bit about this. There might be one or two of you who came from a Christian background, who went to church, did all the stuff. And then when you became a Christian, you sort of, there was stuff still dragging on behind you. For me, it was this idea that if I didn't go to church every Sunday, God might send me to hell. Seriously, that was a big issue for me the first time I didn't go to church on a Sunday. because I realized I didn't have to go every Sunday. God didn't require me to go on to Sunday. If I went to church, it was because I wanted to worship God. That was a big issue. Fortunately, I've got over it now. But there's other things. Some things are more difficult, like believing that I have to be good enough for God to love me. Is that what you think? Or the more I do in the church, the more God will approve of me. Is that what you think? Or if we do our best, God will take us to heaven when we die. Is that what you think? Because none of those things are true. Because God isn't like that. And those are the things that we have to forget. The things the world believes. The things that, forgive me for this if you take it wrongly, religious people believe. And by that I mean people who are putting their faith in religion instead of in Jesus. There is a huge difference. Paul says, keep on going in the direction that we're now headed. And remember something else. Well, actually, I've been talking about forgetting, haven't I? This is where I come on to the remembering. Okay, forget those things. Remember God's at work, and he's still at work. Again and again in the Old Testament particularly, the Jews are told, remember what God's done, remember what God's done, remember what's God. That's not wrong. It's when you base now on that, okay? That's what's wrong. Remember it, give thanks for it. That's why Jesus gave us communion. But what happens in the ordinary everyday of life? Do we remember the things we should remember? No, we don't. I don't anyway. All too often in the busyness and pressure of life, I forget that God's at work. I forget the things he's done before. I forget the things he's going to do. Because I'm so busy, I'm so focused on myself, I forget he wants to talk to me. I forget he wants to help me to become the person he made me to be. And as a result, the way I live and the way I handle situations that arise aren't always honoring to God. And they certainly don't help me grow in my faith and knowledge of him. Because I forget about God. That's not good forgetting. That's bad forgetting. I forget about God because I think too much about myself. But there's something else to remember. And that is, although I forget, God doesn't. God does not forget us because he's not like us. In Isaiah 49, and I love this, the prophet speaking for God, he says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Wow. How about that? One thing I do, because I've got a shocking memory, is I write things down all the time. I suppose that's God's equivalent in a way. Your name is written on his hands, if he had hands. Do you see what we're saying? God cannot forget you. He will not forget you. We can forget him. We can forget to look for his presence and what he's doing, but he has us in his mind all the time. Wherever we are, he is there, and he sees us. We are never alone. God never forgets us. But you know what God does forget? He forgets our sin. Not like I forget Elsie's birthday. You know, that was terrible. That was a slip. That was my brain. Okay? But it says in Scripture, and this is in Isaiah 2, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Do you know that? He deliberately chooses not to remember your sin. When you repent and confess, he says, right, that's it, it's gone. I'm not going to remember it anymore. Wow. I will. I'll go on, and he'll say, well, look, forget about it, please. Don't keep coming back to me with that same sin. I know about it. We had it dealt with. I'm not remembering it, so please don't remember it either. Don't let things from your past haunt you, hold you back, mean that you don't finish the race in the way that you want to. This is great news. This is great news because it means we can go into the new year without taking all the baggage of our past with us. We can leave it behind. Recently, we were reading the book of Revelation, and God says to several of the churches in Asia, I have something against you. Some of them were big, seemingly successful churches, but they were getting some important things wrong. There were things that were not right in the lives of those Christians, and God called them to repent, to confess their sins, and to begin again. He was offering them a second chance, a new chance. And God does that for us all today. We can begin again in 2017, never mind what happened in 2016. Confess it, repent of it, and then start again. Some people say, what's the point of New Year? This is the point of New Year. Our God is the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance. And he's given everyone here and every one of his people in the world another chance in 2017. And in Isaiah, again, 43, God says this, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people. He wants to refresh us. To my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. God's doing a new thing. He wants to refresh us. God has new things for us in 2017. There are things to forget, things that hold us back, wrong beliefs, the good old days. Forget all that. There are things to remember. What God has done for us. The fact that God's at work in us and around us all the time. And the fact that when we repent, God chooses not to remember our sins. Remember those things. And there are things to look forward to. What God's going to do. And there's things to do. Those things he has prepared specifically for you and you and you and me, for each one of us. And I want to give you a verse from Scripture to take away this morning. And if you can remember it, please, think about it each day. And it's Proverbs 3, verse 5. And it says this. It doesn't actually say in 2017, but I'm going to add that on. In 2017, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean, that means depend, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Jesus has got to be first. Submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Isn't that great? Every day, trust in him. Don't depend on your own cleverness. Submit to him in all your ways and he'll make your paths straight.